Good morning to each and every one of you. Our meditation for this morning is going to be based upon our epistle reading from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and his imploring the Christian to walk in the light of the gospel. St. Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible." Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We own the night. I can still remember General Norman Schwarzkopf saying it during a press conference during the Persian Gulf War in 1990. Back 30 years ago, night vision goggles were a new technology that gave American troops a decided advantage over our enemies. In the darkness of the night, we could see them, but they couldn't see us. This advantage extended to our airplanes as well, as our stealth fighters could slip past Iraqi radars undetected. Nighttime had become our greatest ally. But fast forward, and today, none of those things are unique to American forces anymore. Yet, we still use the darkness as a cover for things we don't want exposed. Top secret aircraft that are being developed and tested out at Area 51 in the Nevada desert are still flown at night. Yet, even this military base, which still doesn't officially exist, cannot keep things hidden. For example, in 1960, the leader of the Soviet Union passed along a diagram to the U.S. ambassador of the brand new American spy plane, the SR-71, before it had even made its first flight. It was Nikita Khrushchev's way of saying, "We see what you're up to." The lesson? Nothing is ever really hidden or kept secret for long. Even the darkness of the night can be penetrated. And that is exactly what St. Paul is talking about in our text for this morning. Only he isn't referring to military hardware, but rather our conduct, our sins. For Paul was using the age-old tradition of using light and dark as metaphors for good and evil. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and God saw the light, that it was good. But did you ever notice in the Genesis account of creation that God never called darkness good, but rather God divided the light from the darkness? And so it is that we too are to divide light from darkness, that is, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And what are these works of darkness? Well, the context of this portion of Paul's letter will inform us that he was referring to sexual immorality and the perverse practices that many of the Gentiles were engaged in, usually at the pagan temples. "It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret," Paul writes in our text. And these perverted things were done in secret. Contrary to what you may have been told, even in the ancient world, immoral or homosexual acts were never openly flaunted, and if they were, it was looked down upon. Apparently the Romans had a better sense of decency than even we have. For even the pagan mind, which had rejected the one true God and his order for creation, attempted to hide certain conduct. But not anymore. Not in our day. To quote our Lord from the book of Jeremiah, "Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? No, they did not even know how to blush." For we now live in an age where nothing is hidden, even if it's shameful. what people used to do in the darkness, is now openly flaunted. And not only that, if you do not actively support perversity, society will condemn you now. It's the person who abides and lives by the scriptures, the Ten Commandments, who will be the one who is persecuted, lose their job, get kicked out of school, or get sued. Then again, Jesus himself was handed over to the unbelievers. Why should we think it won't happen to those who follow him? But my, how our world has changed. It would be unrecognizable to your grandparents. If you could communicate with them right now and tell them that our government supports the idea that there are multiple sexes, not just two, they would think that you were nuts. But as a Christian, someone who walks and lives in the light of the truth that there is a right and a wrong, that there is an order for creation, that God created us, male and female, you just know things are getting really bad when a guy wearing a dress is given an award at a ceremony at the White House that was organized to recognize and honor women. And the insanity continues. Our society has become blind to the truth of reality, for reality is now whatever you want it to be. If I tell you that the pyramids and the altar are purple, you can insist that they are green, and everybody is supposed to nod their head and agree that we're both right. What was evil is now good, and what used to be good is now considered evil. Like God said, folks don't even know how to blush anymore, and have chosen to remain in the darkness rather than to abide in the light. Folks who seek validation for their conduct, because deep down, they know it is evil. In our gospel for this morning, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." But understand and know that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. His coming is a judgment, however, because those who reject him bring everlasting condemnation upon themselves. Blind fools. Like the Pharisees, who refused to see the miracles Jesus was performing as a sign that he was the long-promised Messiah, and who had come to atone for our sins, so that we may become righteous in the sight of God and walk in the light of his eternal kingdom. Paul says, "Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them." And how is that done? By shining a light in the darkness, the light, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it exposes the darkness for what it is, opposition to God's intent. And the gospel shows us Christ and how he suffered to pay for the sins of the world, how from noon until his death on the cross, darkness covered the whole world, for mankind was at that moment completely cut off from heaven and the Almighty. For all sins now resided in the body and the person of Jesus. For a holy God cannot abide in the presence of sin. In our world, nothing can remain hidden forever. Eventually, everything gets exposed. Military secrets, shady business dealings, illicit affairs. Nothing can remain hidden from God's knowledge either, for he even knows the secrets and the sins of your heart. Yet, to those who believe, to those who see Jesus for who he is, who can say with that blind man restored of his sight, "Lord, I believe," amazingly, God has chosen not to see the sins that we commit, for they have been transferred to his beloved Son Jesus, who willingly suffer the consequence for them. I think it's rather interesting that the season of Lent takes place at that time of year where the daylight increasingly overtakes the darkness. A foretelling of sorts of Jesus' final triumph when the darkness of Good Friday yielded to the glorious rising of the sun on Easter morning, and where the angels announced Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Let's go back to the very beginning, when there was nothing, total darkness, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But soon enough, people wantonly destroyed God's good creation, and the world was then covered in darkness. And then, from this darkness, Jesus cried from the cross, "Let there be forgiveness," and there is forgiveness, and because of it, we own the night. The Christian owns the night, the darkness, because we can see in it, for the gospel lights our way through it to our heavenly home above. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord forevermore. Amen. Our Lord's blessings to you. Until next week.